Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Anne, who is here to speak with us about her experience of practicing with Bamboozle Number 7, the Conditional. Welcome, Anne.
Hey, Jen. Good to be here.
Hey. Yeah, thanks for being with us. So just the tiniest bit of background for folks who may not be back and forth with the year-long retreat that we are walking through Sherry and Ashwini's most recent book, The Big Bamboozle, together, because it's laid out over the course of 12 months. And so we're working with one bamboozle each month. And what's actually really fun, isn't it, is that right now we have the extra support of having the Big Bamboozles woven into the Bridge Book campaign. So that's really fun because we've got that support there.
Yeah, well, I mean, yes, that's fun. And I just have to say that as I was sitting here waiting to be on the call, a practice tweet came in that said, practice compassionate speech internally and externally. And I just thought, that is just so perfect.
That was real for me.
Well, yeah. I mean, here we are speaking, right? I mean, I don't know. It just feels like we're using every single vehicle there is to provide practice. And it just feels like such an amazing gift. And I don't know if this wasn't done intentionally, but I just think it's such a stroke of genius to have a book that has something to practice with every week. And so not only do we have something to practice with every week, but we then, through that vehicle, have another way to feel connected with Sangha and to participate with Sangha, which I just think is phenomenal.
I do too. I do too. And I love that it has that monthly component as well. So if we look, for example, this last month, we're just completing having worked with that bamboozle, the conditional, for an entire month. And then, as you say, for the 4 weeks of the month, there's an assignment each week. So it keeps it fresh. But there's something about being able to keep your attention for a stretch on one thing that seems so helpful.
Yes, and the other thing that I really appreciate about it is, so not only do I have the reading every week and the radio show to a focus for the week to look at, well, of course, we have so many. It's just so many. But then we're talking about it on the radio show. We can call into the radio show. But then also what I really appreciate is that in weekly group, we read the reading, and then we have an opportunity to discuss it, which I just feel so blessed. So,
and to know that
everybody in the Sangha around the country and around the world is doing the same practice.
Exactly. And so it really does have that potential of turning it into that game that it can be. So instead of being grim and serious and, oh, the voice has got me again, and just, oh, I caught it, you know, and realizing that we're all doing this. We're all practicing seeing through these bamboozles that conditioning attempts to get us with.
Yes, and that it's not me, you know, it's not me doing this. It's conditioned mind, and there is just one conditioned mind that appears in everybody's mind. And so if I catch, well, I've actually never quite looked at it this way, but if I catch a bamboozle, I'm catching it for everybody, for all.
I love it, because that is so true, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it's like you know how we talk about everybody has their piece of karma to clean up? You know, we get like a ladle of karma when we come into this lifetime to work on and to clean up. It's like we're participating in the big bamboozle, and seeing through a bamboozle, it's like we're cleaning up the common space.
I hadn't
looked at it that way before.
I hadn't either. That's really quite brilliant. And especially if then we call into the radio show, let's say, and share what we're seeing about it, or, you know, go to our local sitting group if one is fortunate enough to have one. But in whatever way we do that, or maybe we talk about it with our reflective listening buddy, or whatever formats we're in, as whatever we're seeing through then becomes a gift to everyone else.
Yes, that is so true. Oh, well, there were two things that came up when you said that. One, you already mentioned this, but as if it couldn't get better. You know, we have this weekly thing we get to work with. But then it's just, while we're doing it, we get to then have our teacup and contribute to the Africa Vulnerable Children's Project as part of it. I mean, how great is that?
Right, Right. I know. It's so fun. I know. I have my teacup there up on my big, on my wall, and I've started just, life just sort of dropped it in. I didn't even really think about it. But what I've been doing as I empty the bamboozle out of the teacup, I've been looking at, okay, and what life thing goes into the teacup? And sort of looking at, you know, the world of opposites. So if conditioning says this, well, what's really true? And putting that in the teacup as my offering, to, you know, with the little monetary thing as the offering to the bridge one. So that's very fun.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's a beautiful, oh, so that you're basically offering what is true, what is so, what is life, and how can I offer that life to everyone? Well, we should have a thing at the bridge walk where people can come and bring offerings.
That's a great idea.
What is so instead of the bamboozle? Wouldn't that be fun?
Completely. Noted.
Oh.
Truly noted.
Well, and the other thing I wanted to share when I was invited to do this, because you just mentioned reflective listening, but it's because I caught this bamboozle and I just have to share it because I don't think I would have caught it if I hadn't been, you know, we hadn't had a focus. So I'm the Reflective Listening Buddies practice call. For people who don't know, we have a program that we can do Reflective Listening Buddies every quarter where you pair up with someone and you get to talk for half an hour, 15 minutes, and then you get to practice reflective listening skills where somebody else speaks and we have a buddy for the quarter. And then as part of that program, we can call into a facilitated support call where we talk about our experience on those calls. So I just had the pleasure of being on one of those calls, and I was talking about how I've just recently seen how critical and core, I have to laugh, just recently seeing this because it's one of those things of, you know, it's a core practice principle, but it's just like seeing it on a deeper level, how key reflective listening is, and one of the bamboo rules being that, oh, that's just something to get through to get to something more advanced.
And as
I'm sharing this realization, I hear myself say, so I was merely reflecting this person, and I caught it. I was like, oh, my gosh, I didn't mean, I mean, my whole point was that reflective listening is so amazing, incredible, a gem. And here comes this adjective inserted merely in my discussion of how amazing it is. And I was like, wait a minute, where did that word come from?
Oh, that is so great. That is awareness in action, isn't it? Catching what's supposed to go under the radar screen, but actually seeing it.
Yeah. So I'm actually having this realization, and the word, well, it actually, I love it. It connects to the tweet that just came through right before we started talking, practice compassionate speech inside and out. So as I'm speaking, it's like conditioning inserts this adjective, and you know, I would actually think if I heard this on the radio, I would think, "What are you crazy? Nobody inserts words when you're speaking." But that's exactly what happened, I caught
Absolutely.
It, and I went, "No, I do not mean merely. That's the whole point. There's nothing merely about reflective listening at all."
Yeah. Oh, so perfect. So perfect. So before we run out of time, Anne, was there anything in particular you saw about the conditional bamboozle that you wanted to throw out there?
I didn't quite hear that. Was there anything about this? Say that one more time.
I was saying that before we run out of time, was there anything in particular about this month's bamboozle, the conditional, that you wanted to look at?
Well, I actually had called in and talked to Sherry about this on the radio show because I really, really appreciated the quote in the book introducing the bamboozle about how conditioning lives between where the tension between where we are and where we want to be. And it feels like that's just such a huge bamboozle of, you know, we are where we are. And maybe we want to be someplace else, you know, but it's that, can we accept with compassion where we are, and that what we talk about, how I love you exactly how you are and I'll help you to be whoever you want to be. But the bamboozle is that I can't love and accept who I am now because I want to be, there's something I'm working on. And once I get there, then.
Exactly.
So the
is
the huge stamp.
And that's bamboozle. The thing that keeps us in it, isn't it? We're in the middle of it. There's nothing wrong with your retreat. And we were looking at just that same thing, exactly what you just articulated, which is that, you know, conditioning tries to talk us into, well, yeah, I'm going to, you know, become the person I should be, and it's all good person things, right? I need to just improve this a little bit and be better at that and, you know, be kind and all those things that we know we should be, right? And so as soon as I am that person, then I'm worthy of unconditional love. But that will never happen because it's conditional. And so to have the courage to flip it around and to go straight to the unconditional, I mean, that is practice in a nutshell.
Yes, and to realize that this is it, this is the only moment we have, and can we fully receive it and fully appreciate it? Yeah, that is it.
It is big. That's huge. This is the only moment we have, and can we fully receive it and appreciate it, not be in a conversation about what's next or I should have or...
Right, not be in a conversation about what's wrong with it, and if only then.
Yeah. I'll tell you, as we've been looking at the conditional in the discussions at the monastery through the month, I keep hearing myself and other people say, gosh, it seems like this is the one, right? This is the bamboozle that's really encapsulates everything. And what we got to was, I think the bamboozle that's the one that encapsulates everything is the one we're on.
Exactly. That's so funny because that was something else I'd looked at when I knew I was going to talk to you today. It's like, well, this one feels like it, but I know as we move to the next one, that one will feel like it.
Exactly.
Which is so fun, isn't it? Because then it's like,
is so fun.
Wherever we are, it's it. And isn't that the life experience we want to be having?
Yeah, that's what made me think of it, is that point that when we're here, when we're present, this is it. Whatever this is, this is it. This is it. Not later, not as soon as, not if, but this here now. Yep.
Yes.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, Anne, we're up against the hour, so thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you. And deep, deep gratitude for all the practice opportunities.
Oh, amen. Yep. All right. Thanks, Anne.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, Ashwini, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Thanks, Jen. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Yes, hello. Yes, thank you. Was that fun? Was that a fun conversation?
That was absolutely amazing. Yes, it was.
Yes,
it was.
Yes, and so I was looking at it as they were talking, because I love inspiration. And so I wanted to do a little report of my own on the Good News Update and the Bridge Walk and the inspiration and all of that. And it was that last week, as you recall, Rochelle was on, and she was talking to us about her commitment to run a mile every day between when the campaign started and the bridge walk, which was 100 miles, right? But I didn't hear about it till last week. And I said to myself, I said to Michael too, I want to do that. I want to do that. And so that was my commitment. Jen reminded us also that last year, whenever it was, we all started walking at least 10,000 steps a day, and that was part of our bridge walk commitment. We've all stayed with that, right, and haven't quit since. And now I've added my mile a day. So I've just done a week, and it is so fun. So I just want to thank everybody involved in this Good News Update and all of you who are putting together the bridge walk campaigns. And everybody, Anne and Rochelle, and all the other folks who come on and share their experience and inspire us with these practice opportunities. It's fabulous.
Yes, and we get inspired. And you know, Sherry, it plays so beautifully into the conditional, right? Because we listen to inspiration and we go, "Oh, if I could only do that, I would dot dot dot." And you're just
right.
You're just demonstrated exactly what we should do when we're inspired, which is to stay in inspiration and do what we're inspired to do, and it takes it out of the conditional.
Yes, because I'm here right now. I'm already having fun. Now, and I could watch, you know, Rochelle is, you know, miles ahead of me because she was smart enough to start at the beginning. But, hey, I started now. And I don't actually know how long it is till the bridge walk, but it's going to be fun. And it's going to be fun the whole time. And it's what Anne and Jen were just talking about. This is where I am now. So this is the perfect moment right now. Yeah.
Well, and you don't have to finish by the bridge walk, right? Your 100 miles could end after the bridge walk is over. There are no conditions on that one either.
Oh, what an incredible point. I don't have to quit on October 15th. I can just go right on, complete my 100 miles, and I could go right on and do that for the rest of my life, which would be a very fun thing to do.
I know, and the thing is that even if you finish your 100 miles, you don't have to quit being inspired.
Yes, that is a must, isn't it? We're never going to quit being inspired. Just never, just never.
Just
There's
never.
No reason for it because there is so much to be inspired about. There's so much that is inspiring in the world. So, yeah. Now, I always try to bow not to just go on and on and on because I know you have announcements, but I do want to acknowledge, I don't know where they are, and you probably don't either because you're not with them right now, but I know there is a fabulous group of people at the monastery doing a There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat, and another fabulous group facilitating that group of people, and another fabulous group of people cooking and cleaning and supporting everyone who's doing that work. So I just want to express my gratitude to those groups of people. And then, of course, then we get into, you know, everybody who supports all of us in practice and all of us who are practicing together. But just right now, I don't know if you're on the west porch or because it's a little toasty there, maybe in the meditation hall, but just to let you know, I'm thinking about all of you.
They're in the meditation hall, Sherry, and there's a lot of love at
Good.
The monastery right now. And we're experiencing it. So thank you for that.
Yes.
And I do have some announcements. And before I get to them, I just wanted to make a deep gusher to Michael. He's always here. And I'm stepping in for him, as you can see, because this is the one time in the year that he goes on vacation. And
yes,
we wish him well, and we're thinking of him too.
Yes, and I know whether he may be listening in tonight just to see how we do, you know, in his absence.
I know.
But if not, I know he'll listen to the recording. So, yes, deep gratitude as always to Michael for just his unfailing loyalty to all of us, his sincerity and his dedication to practice that has him here week after week after week. And so we are happy for his family that this one week out of the year, he takes off to go off and just exclusively devote himself to his family. So it's a good thing.
Thank you, Michael. And so here are the announcements, Sherry. There's a practice weekend coming up August 19th to the 21st at the Zen Monastery Peace Center. It's an opportunity to get away from the daily routine and enjoy support for deepening practice in the beautiful monastery grounds.
Yes, and just have some peace and quiet and listen to the birds and watch the deer drink and meditate, and it's lovely.
Absolutely lovely, and hopefully the weather will hold. It's really beautiful up here right now. Stop, Drop, and Text encourages mindfulness in daily life. Sign up now for the next 3-week session starting August 29th. The limited number of spaces in this popular program are filled on a first-come, first-served basis, so don't wait to sign up.
Yeah, and popular is the word to underline, isn't it? I don't know. We hear lots of good things about all the programs, but I know people just love that practice coming into our daily lives throughout the day. Yeah.
Yep. There are also just a few slots left in the Hero's Journey retreat, September 1st through the 6th in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. This is a fun and unusual retreat, as we can attest since we've done it before.
yep.
which will explore the nature of the path we're walking on in spiritual practice together. And another popular set of opportunities coming up, two new group coaching opportunities will be starting up in September, Conversations with the Mentor beginning September 21st, and Mornings with the Mentor beginning September 28th. These weekly group sessions offer support and accountability for your recording and listening practice commitment. That goes like hotcakes, too.
Yes, they do.
I mean, we've offered that so often, and usually we get so many requests, we have to offer multiple sessions of it because we limit it to 8 per group.
Well, it's so like there's nothing wrong with your retreat. This kind of work, you know, it can't be done in massive groups of people. So it's good. We want to give everybody a chance to have their experience and talk about their experience, because doing the work together in that way is so powerful. So we're happy. We're happy to offer multiple groups of anything.
Yeah, and serve a lot of hotcakes, as the folks at the Monastery Kitchen will attest. For these and other practice opportunities, visit www.livingcompassion.org, and you can check the schedule section out. And two reminders, well, a couple of reminders, actually, that we're on Bamboozle number 8, the collusion assignment for week 1, which is a really good one. Mm-hmm. And since we've just finished a week of a Bamboozle, to not to forget to go to the Africa website, the Empty Teacup Challenge page, and update your counter and contribute to those moments of conscious compassionate awareness. I believe we're at 2,604 or something like that the last time I checked. So
thank you for reminding me. I have not contributed any yet, so thank you for reminding me. Because we're trying to get to 15,000, right? So we all need to get there and add them up. Thank you.
Yeah,
I'll go through tonight and add them up.
Well, I think this time, for this one, Sherry, we're going to be overflowing the teacup pretty soon. I think part of the challenge is people are counting so many. It's not going to be 15,000.
Good.
I think that was good experience, too. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's excellent.
Yep.
Can't have too much conscious awareness.
Can't have too much conscious awareness. Just a reminder, if you want to speak to Sherry and to make Gusho, press *6 and 1. And we ask that you keep your time with Sherry to about 5 minutes and focus on one topic, please. Okay.
All right. Thank you, Ashwini.
Are we ready to go, Sherry?
I'm ready.
All right. First caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Anna calling from Seattle.
Oh, hello.
Hi.
How are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
Good. What's going on?
As always, nervousness from calling.
Excitement.
Excitement. I flipped the coin about whether to call or not, and it said yes. Even though
and you won.
Yeah, I won. But conditioning always says, I've tried to call like for the last 4 weeks or so, but and each time conditioning says, you don't have anything to talk about, or, you know, just the usual story that feels really real. You don't have anything coherent to say, and your brain isn't working right, and your brain is blurry and things like that. And so then so I wanted to call just to trust. I mean,
there you go.
I really don't know. I really don't know what to talk about, I guess. It's just like,
that's all right.
I'm rain.
you know me well enough to know that I'll always find something to talk about with you. So that it's really not a problem, right?
Yeah.
The problem is listening to the voice saying don't call. because you don't have anything to talk about. We always have something to talk about. But it really doesn't, that voice really doesn't want you to call, because what's going to happen is you're going to see that, well, that was another lie. So next time you're not going to be so inclined to listen to that lie and believe it.
Yeah. Right? So yeah, I guess one can trust life even if someone can't trust their brain to be working right. Right? Is that? I mean, you can always trust life even if, you know, you maybe can't trust your brain. Or
absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Because in my experience, now this is one of those kinds of things that I say that the people who are, especially people who are new to practice, they get a little nervous, right? But in my experience, the brain and the mind that we're talking about, really have very little to do with each other. Mm-hmm. I was in a conversation today with someone. We were talking about, it was my grandson, as a matter of fact, and he has very mathematical mind, right? He's a mathematics and economics major, and he loves things like statistics, right? And we were talking about the fact that, you know, that sort of stuff, for me, no. But I can intuit anything. So as a builder, I realized that I could do intuitive fractions, right? So I can't actually do fractions the way they teach you to do them in school. Now, this was, of course, before we had these handy-dandy machines that will figure anything out for you, right? But I actually don't even use that, the any kind of calculator or that sort of thing, because I can do it intuitively. I can just see what the answer is, which to me is a perfect example of just trusting life. For a long time, I was afraid because I couldn't do kind of normal brain things that people could do. But when I realized that I could just look to life and life could do all of those things perfectly, whatever condition my brain was in, then it's not a problem. So if I have learning disabilities, which I do, that's not a problem for life. It's a problem for certain kinds of linear thinking and that sort of thing, but it's not a problem for life. Life is supremely intelligent, whatever difficulties I may have. So in this way that you're talking about, you know, conditioned mind can say your brain is fuzzy or foggy or whatever it is. That doesn't matter. You're still perfectly intelligent.
Yeah, okay. If
you don't turn your attention to that conversation, because that will mess you up.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And I had an experience in the last, maybe for 1 week, I had actually a really clear mind. It stopped today. But I actually had a really clear mind, and it was so great. It was like, wow, I actually, you know, I can read, I can do all these things, and I don't know, it just gave me a lot of confidence in that week. like, wow,
Do you have a sense of why that happened?
Well, this is kind of fun. Maybe last Friday, and that's not a week, though. I don't know. That has nothing to do with it, maybe. But, I think part of it is because I'm doing this kind of therapy. It's called somatic experiencing, and it's for trauma healing, and it really helps to reset the nervous system. So I think I kind of had a frozen brain and frozen nervous system, you know, frozen response often. And that happens in the brain, too. It feels frozen. Mm-hmm. And because of that therapy, it really helps it, I think.
Yes.
So that's great.
Now, yes, it is great. It is great. And
it's fine.
I bet you've been...
blurry, I guess. Yeah.
Say what?
I guess it's fine when it's blurry, too, but then it's hard to plan to go ahead with some kind of training, you know.
Here's the thing. If you are doing that therapy, but your attention is on a conversation about what's wrong with you, do you find that you can still get stuck in those same old places? You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, I haven't been able to disidentify from the voices when I'm feeling like that, I think, because it's such a strong story.
That's right. Yeah. Oh, God. Do you know how happy it makes me to hear you say that? It's such a strong story. Yeah. It is a strong story, but it's just a story, isn't it? Go ahead.
But and while my brain isn't working, it makes it hard to remember that it's just a story. It makes it hard to, I have a recorder.
Yeah.
But because of the blurriness in the mind, that prevents me from seeing through it faster. That's why it's taking 33 years.
Well, 33 years is nothing, my darling. You don't worry about that. You're making great strides. Because here's the thing. So I would my version of that is depression. Okay, and so there's the depression, and there's no energy, and there's just a malaise and a fogginess. Okay. And if I get into a really good story about being incapacitated, hopeless, because this condition is present in my life, then I have a really miserable life experience. But if what I turn my attention to is simply so that's what's going on, and so that's how I'm feeling right now. So how would I like to be with that? So is it really stopping me from doing anything that I want to do? No. This is not the time that I want to plan. Well, fine. I'm not a big fan of planning anyway. I'd rather let life unfold in the moment. So that's fine. I can't remember. Well, remembering is really overrated. Right? All I'm interested in is being present. So when I'm present, I don't actually need to remember anything. So am I fine? Yeah, actually, I'm just fine. So now what I would really like to turn my attention to is everything that I'm enjoying in the present. Let's just leave that story behind because it's irrelevant. Right? So is my mind working as well as it can work? No. But it's how it's working right now. So I'd rather be happy with it.
And there's really no control over it.
No, none.
No control over it. It's really,
none.
I mean, I can, there's nothing.
Not your fault. So why feel bad about it? And why listen to a story?
Yeah. And it doesn't mean... Yeah. I mean, I'm still capable of doing, I'll still be capable of doing what I want to do.
All kinds of things, right? Everything you want and need to do, you are still capable of doing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah. And so in every situation, that story is irrelevant and useless. And there's no reason to entertain it.
That I'm capable when I need to be? I mean, just any thinking about that at all?
Well, you know that you're capable. You can do anything, whether your brain is in a fog or is complete, or you feel completely clear. It doesn't matter. You're capable and equal to your life. So why entertain a story about... Well, your brain is this way, and you can't remember, and you can't plan, and you can't... Okay, so what? Who cares? Let's not talk about that anymore. And the thing is, you have the power to make that decision. You can make the decision not to engage in that story anymore. That is within your ability.
And then if somebody asks me a question and I need to answer it, that I feel on the spot and I can't answer it right then I say, then my, I would say my brain is not.
Then you could say, right, then you're right. It would be good to have something kind of in your back pocket that you can use in those moments. So you can say, gosh, you know, I'm just feeling really kind of exhausted right now. So let me get back to you when I have more faculties.
Yeah.
Great. There you are.
Okay. Yep.
You know, just to be honest, I'm just not as sharp as I am sometimes right now. So let me get back to you when I'm sharp.
Yeah.
And I go, oh, okay. Right?
Yeah, so I'm,
oh, okay. What are we going to say? You know, so many people will go ahead and answer the question, even though they are not sharp. We would all be better off.
Yeah, I'll have to go back to work right now, actually, at 5:30. And so my nanny, so I'll tell the parents, oh, my faculties aren't working. Oh, and then they'll worry about the children.
Well, the thing is,
I can make
it
sound different.
Yeah. You can do it, and you know you can.
I can do it. You know
the answer to those questions.
Yeah.
So that, you know, that's just a con job that the voices would say, yeah, but, and then they're going to ask you a question, you're not, no, they're not going to ask you a question you can't answer. You know, if somebody asks you a question that says, well, now, on your taxes 3 years ago, did you claim the ha-ha-ha-ha, and you're not at your best, you would say, you know, I'm not really sure about that, but I can look it up and get back to you. But,
yeah.
You know, are you going to be able to feed the kids tonight? The answer is yes.
Yeah, I can. Yeah, kids are easier than grown-ups to me.
That's right. So only talk to children when you're not at your best.
Right.
They won't know the difference.
Yeah.
All right. Take care of yourself. Okay, you know, I'll tell you, this is what makes me happy. Let me tell you what makes me happy before I let you go, okay?
Okay.
This is such a different conversation than we would have had even a year ago.
Yeah.
You know that, right?
I'll have to listen back to it.
Yeah. So you're seeing, I'll tell you the difference, okay, because the voices aren't going to want you to take it in.
Okay.
You are seeing so clearly what that conversation is, and you are seeing that you are capable even when the conversation is telling you that your brain is muddy. Okay? You are realizing that you're still capable and competent, whatever those voices are telling you is going on with you. That's huge.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think I hit my head really hard on Friday. I fell and I hit my head really hard and I had to, afterwards, I had to cry for 3 hours. Straight, I was crying kind of uncontrollably, and I think that lifted a lot from my chest, it just connected. I felt more connected with myself afterwards, so that was really helpful to hit my head, and it made it possible for me to cry. I mean, sometimes I cry, but not as much, so that was really great. Yeah, I was really happy.
Yeah. You still might want to get checked out, you know, just make that. Yeah, because that's a powerful blow. I love it that it's possible to say, and here are the good things that are coming out of that. That's great. All right.
Well, you take care
of yourself.
Yeah, just one quick thing. I don't know. I wrote an email in to ask whether I could come as a visiting monk, so I'm waiting for an email back. I don't know if somebody saw the email.
I don't know. That's not my department. Thank God, that's not my department.
I know. I'm just saying.
But they'll get back to you. They're good like that. The thing that you can know is, you know how many people we've got at that monastery, and the same people that would be writing those emails are cooking.
That's right.
So,
okay.
Okay. So be patient with us. We'll get back to you.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Take care. Good night.
Bye, you too.
Thanks, Anne. Wow, that was so powerful, Sherry.
Good. I know she'll listen into this, and she'll hear what I'm saying, because as somebody, watching practice develop and deepen, I can see those changes. And those voices don't want us to see those changes. Good to have an outside, unbiased opinion.
Yes. Well, and the power is that, it's that we stop believing the story. And when we stop believing the story, we don't get sucked into solving the problem that the story says is true.
Yes. Yes. Oh, that's a great point. Exactly that. Yes. And then that frees up so much, right? Then we can give our attention to what is actually true and real. And then we just start really picking up speed down the path of awareness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so let me bring someone else live.
All right, thank you.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Will you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry, it's Jill in Brooklyn.
Well, hello, Jill. You sound a long ways away. Are you on a speakerphone?
Oh, do I? How's that?
You'll have to stay a little bit. Hey, actually, you sound exactly the same. So maybe we'll say, well, that's good.
Okay. Well, maybe if I shift a little bit here in my...
Of course, you're in Brooklyn, so I guess we could... Yeah, there's an argument that you actually are a long ways away from us. So let's just go with it. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm very good. I had this sort of crazy practice thing happened that I wanted to call and tell you about, and I've been looking a lot at it, but I would just love to get just say it to you, because it was so crazy what it feels like happened.
I can't wait.
No, how's that for a setup?
Yeah, no kidding. I'm on the edge of my rocking here.
Well, I went to visit my parents recently, and, I've been, 18, and left my house in a hurry, I haven't really, I really enjoy my parents, and, I tell people we're just kind of mismatched. Like, my mother is like a soap opera watching former cheerleader, and I'm, a 5 on the Enneagram.
And you're not.
And I'm not. So, we have some, we're just a little mismatched. So, but I do really like them. I just don't, I don't spend a lot of time with them. I see them 4 or 5 times a year and all this stuff. And when I do go and visit them, I try and do whatever they want to do. I'm in their house. There's other family that they want to see. It just feels like, it's always felt like the compassionate thing to do, like I'm just doing, helping and all this other stuff. And this time I went up there and, this phrase, and I can't remember who I've heard it from, and, probably sometime over the years, but like, join in their life fully. That phrase like popped up in my head, and I join in their life fully when I'm with them. And, I sort of understood it on a different level. Like, I could feel that I was, there was still the kid who was there, and who didn't want to join in what they were doing. Like, that little person was always with me because I had to protect her from, getting pulled into watching soap operas or, whatever, something that the kid didn't want to do. Something shifted where I just joined. I don't even know what happened, but I had a completely different experience with them that went beyond they're my parents and I'm the daughter and this is how we are. It was just like these little things started happening where, whenever my mother said something that is like, she can say things that are completely incorrect, like that are completely untrue, that I don't know where she gets it, but, and I always have to be the defender of the truth, you know, and uh-huh. sort of tell her what.
It's really important to point out to her how wrong she is.
Yeah, just like, yeah. Mom, uh-huh. I just want you to know that what you just said is not, it has no basis in science or any you know, whatever.
Fact or reality or any
reality.
Of those things.
Exactly, uh-huh. exactly. And instead, I did not say those things to her this time. Wow. I just said, like, oh, that's interesting. Or I don't even know how, I can't even remember what happened, but what... The experience was that it just felt like, this huge, huge old wall just, like, tumbled away. Like, it was just so crazy, and they felt it, too. It was almost like I was trusting them more, they were trusting me more to not be judgmental. I don't know, actually, what it was. But it was, like, the most extraordinary closeness and intimacy and love I think I've ever felt in my life. And and ever since then, I just keep thinking about my parents. And
you keep what, Jill?
I keep thinking about my parents and how I haven't spent that much time with them over the past 27 years. And, you know, they maybe have 15 years left on this planet, if they're lucky. And anyway, it just, this whole possibility opened up for me to be like, wow, what if it was that I, you know, I was planning to move to Philadelphia, I was like moving in this very strong direction. And then this thing dropped in of like, you know what, you should go spend more time with your parents. Just be in the family in a way that you have never been in before.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel like very, so that's just sort of not, you know, so now all these plans are like, they're in kind of, I don't know, everything feels like in limbo. And so I've been doing in flux, exactly, not in limbo, in flux. So I've done some two-handed exercises on it and, you know, the mentor keeps saying, you know what, you just need to go to Philadelphia and spend some time with them and, you know, just let something, just more will be revealed, as we say. But I feel like
that you don't have to decide anything right now.
But Jill,
I'm not clear. Do they live in Philadelphia?
No, they live in Massachusetts.
Ah, okay, gotcha. All right, so your move is to Philadelphia, potentially, and they are in Massachusetts.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it would completely change where I was feeling, you know, that life was leading me, and now it feels like it's leading me in this whole other direction. And, you know, when I look at it, I can see that there is a conditioned duality that keeps coming up about, you know, my parents, whatever. It's there is some story which I can tell you about if you want. But I'm just curious what, I don't know, like the flip the coin thing does feel like a little bit too much right now. But I don't know, where is conditioning in this is what my question to myself and maybe you, I don't know. I just feel like I don't. Well, I guess saying that out loud makes me realize like someone's afraid that she's going to make the wrong decision, but that's impossible.
Yeah.
So.
Yes. And that would be my encouragement to look at that where conditioning lives in is. So you've had an extraordinary life experience. Just extraordinary, right?
Yeah.
And conditioning wants to make problem.
Right.
As quickly as possible. Okay, so let's leave the fact that you've dropped into this place of unconditional love, and now let's make a problem out of where you should live.
Mm. Mm. Yeah. That's exactly.
Because it doesn't matter. You know, your choices are not Berlin, Hong Kong,
right.
or Philadelphia.
Right.
Right. It's not like if you moved to Philadelphia, you couldn't go see your parents.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
both are
that
possible.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so the mentor does seem kind of like the voice of intelligent wisdom, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Well, how about if you just continue with your life? And, of course, I'm sure the mentor is saying this, and I hope so, because I want to underline it. How about if you just continue with your life enjoying unconditional love?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then
yeah.
see what unfolds in terms of where you're going to live.
Yeah, yeah. Because that has occurred to me, too, that experience isn't reserved just for my parents, although it did feel particularly powerful because, you know, I lived, whatever, they're my parents. But, yeah, that experience is, you know, that this human had is possible in a lot of other
yes.
ways and places.
And, you know, Jill, the thing that, you don't know this, but I'm going to tell you, the thing that dropped in for me when you were talking about it is something that I've looked at before, but never kind of from the direction that I saw when you were talking. So up until the age of, I don't know, and we'll never know because conditioning would have a story for you. But up until the age of, say, 5, 6, 7, 8 maybe, you didn't know there was anything wrong with your parents.
Mm.
You thought they were wonderful.
Mm.
In fact, they were the most important people on the planet.
Mm.
And if you could be with them, that's all you wanted.
Mm.
And right? And then, and not just you, this is all of us with our parents or whoever is in that role
mm.
for us, right? And then ego starts to develop, right? And conditioning starts to make a case for itself.
Mm-hmm.
And then suddenly, you know, you're getting information that, well, there is something wrong with them, and you don't like that, and you're not like that, and you're different, and you're, right? And we grow, and as ego develops, you know, into the teenage, preteen, and then into the teenage years, we get it, that all I want to do is not be like those people.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Right? And because they're embarrassing, and they're awful, and they're just stupid, and all of these things. And so what we tend to lose sight of is that all that happened was my ego got developed.
Mm.
It's not that those people are inherently flawed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have different opinions than you have, and they enjoy different things, but their hearts haven't changed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they loved you probably as close to unconditionally as happens with human beings, right? They adored you. And so all that really happened was my ego got developed, and I decided I didn't like them.
Mm. Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
And now what happened, what I project what happened to you is that ego attachment fell away.
Mm-hmm.
And you just fell right back into a place of unconditional love where you were happy not to need to hold judgmental opinions about these people that caused you to close your heart to them.
Yeah. Yeah, it was, you know, I always felt like they loved me conditionally, but it was me that was loving them conditionally, you know, that they, you know, there were things about them that I, as a child, really loved about them, and then things that I felt, you know, a betrayal about, even at a very young age. And so, you know, my experience of them has always been conditional, that if you act this way, and that's what I was trying to correct my mother towards, is you know, and
yeah.
watching.
So she would become the right person so that you could love her. Yeah,
right.
It was
right.
necessary for you to straighten her out so that she, so that you could love her. It's not your fault she's unlovable as she is. And you know, you could probably, if you worked hard enough, you could fix her. But, you know, really, you've got your life to live. You don't have time to devote yourself to fixing these people. So that, and then it just all falls away in a moment.
Yeah, and I guess what was so profound about it, for many reasons, but one thing that just dropped in about it, that for me is to have held that belief for so long, long. I mean, maybe over 40 years I have had that belief.
Yep.
And then to have it fall away, like completely gone, it was completely gone. It was just, I mean, what that wall was holding back, I guess, I got it all in one shot, it felt like, you know, like all the love and acceptance and whatever, it all came.
I'll tell you,
I mean, it
made a girl religious, wouldn't it?
I am telling you, it was definitely one of those fruits of practice that I was like, wow, this is nothing that I never would have thought that this is what I wanted or that it was, or anything. It was beyond my comprehension to experience something like
this.
Would
you enjoy some homework?
Sure, yes.
Okay, and this can be casual homework, but okay. I hope, this is what I hope for you, that you start seeing all of the places, all of the ways, and all of the people who are expressing that experience that you had.
Mm.
And they're going to be in all different religions, spirituality, psychology, science, the arts, you know. Mm. But they are expressing, and through the ages, they are expressing that experience that you had.
Mm.
Where all that, we call it crapola, falls away. And you are just left in love.
That sounds like the funnest thing I could ever do. So that does not sound like how I think of as homework. It sounds like I would be very devoted to that pursuit.
Yeah,
so.
We just, in fact, in a retreat that I'm doing, I just posted for people a Thomas Merton quote. And I think you have access to that information. You may have seen it.
Mm-hmm.
But he talks about seeing into people's hearts, the way God must see into people's hearts. And what that does, to realize the beauty and the purity and the danger in being in that place is that we could start to worship one another. You know what
you
mean, right?
Yeah, I do. I mean, one thing that it just felt, I mean, one thing that I felt was just like, well, I'm exactly like my mother and I'm exactly like my father. Like, we are all alike, and then we are all alike in the broad, you know. I mean, I just felt so much kinship with them in a way that was really, that Thomas Merton quote is beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Okay, well, you keep having fun, all right?
All right,
and
thanks.
I can guarantee you this one thing.
Yeah.
Life is going to inform you where you're going to be living next. And the timing will be absolutely perfect.
All right, I'm ready. I'm ready.
Okay, good.
I could be Hong Kong. I'm also open, like, it could be Hong Kong. Like, I really don't know, so.
Yeah. We don't know.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
You,
thanks.
Take good
Bye-bye.
Care.
You too.
Good
Bye-bye.
Night.
Good night.
Thanks,
Bye,
too.
Thanks, Ashwini.
It's such a lovely place to live in. I don't know, and love it.
Yes. Yes. And so perhaps that can be the place where we all live next, right? I don't know.
Exactly. Yeah, I don't know. Then it really doesn't matter what your physical location is.
That's right. It matters where your heart is.
Yes, yes. I have to confess that I don't have the ability currently to play our sponsor or our little ad around coaching. Do you want to take a couple of minutes of silence?
No, that's perfectly good. Because, that's perfectly good, because I always laugh when Michael, or in this case you, say, you know, and try to keep your conversation to 5 minutes and one topic. It's like, I have never been able to keep one of these conversations to 5 minutes. You know, whatever the other person is trying to do, I'm the one who just, you know, wants to stay on the topic forever. So I think it's perfect. You can't do that, and we'll just have another caller.
Yes, and, well, maybe the instruction is never for you, Sherry.
Yeah, well, but I'm the guilty party. They're trying to end the conversation. I won't let them. So, yeah, so we'll okay. just have somebody else, and we'll be fine.
Oh, all right. So here we go.
All right. Thank you.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Ashwini. This is Jan in California.
Well, hi, Jan. Jan.
Hi. Wow, that was an amazing conversation. I'm doing fine. I'm facing some challenges right now, and the past conversations have been helpful, but yeah, I'm going to just jump right into it. And
please do.
And yeah, well, last time I called, I was getting ready. I talked about the conditioning I was facing, getting ready for an athletic event that I wanted to do, and it was amazing because I got ready for that, and just as I knew I was ready, anyway, you helped me with guidance in that, I had an accident and couldn't participate, but I knew I was ready for it, which was the blessing. And since then, and it's been several months, the healing has not happened in the way that it seems would be reasonable to expect. And so I'm trying to cut to the quick of this process.
These are big landmark events that you're laying out for us. So it's helpful to see the progression.
Yeah. Well, so the next thing that happens is, you know, you're in the medical system getting assistance, and I'm doing in this case doing everything that I'm told will be helpful and continuing on that. And really working on yes, please, thank you, I love you. I mean that and there have been many blessings in it. There is no doubt. I've gotten to see a lot. And where I am right now is more challenging because what's been coming in for me, and I'm having a hard time seeing if it's conditioning or where it's coming from, of there's something wrong. That this is not progressing as it should, I'm having a hard time deciphering because, in part, the medical folks I'm dealing with are saying, "Oh, it could be up to a year, and it could this, and it could," and my body is telling me this just doesn't seem right. But I've never been through it before, so I don't know, and I truly don't know. So it's what to listen to and how to advocate for myself without going into something wrong. And that's been the challenge, not dropping into something wrong.
And so, Jen, I don't know the details. So do you feel comfortable just giving me a kind of
word
of it?
Well, I was in a tennis match, and I had a bad fall, broke my wrist. I was in a cast, then... you know, it's been almost two and a half months since I've been out of the cast, and I can barely use my hand still, and I have done everything, I want to say religiously, I've done everything I've been asked to do that would assist the healing, and more actually.
All the physical therapy and all of the everything.
Yeah, everything. Mm-hmm. And I've talked to many people who've had broken wrists, and all of them, oh, no, I didn't have that. Oh, you know. So I know that this is exceptional in the slowness of healing, but it also feels like something else is going on. So what I've done is I asked to see a specialist, which was not an easy task given the medical system I'm in. But that was granted, and so that'll be coming up hopefully soon. But it's interesting how it feels like I have to go to what's wrong to work the medical system, if that makes sense. So that seems to be where I drop into it more. I have to prove that I need more attention on this situation, which means, it's hard to put, which means I have to demonstrate what's wrong.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
That, Oh, yeah. It's how conditioning works. So if you're in a relationship and you want to leave the relationship, you have to explain to everybody what's wrong with the other person.
Exactly,
so
yes.
Well,
one of the blessings is I've been listening to every recording there is at the monastery because I'm doing physical therapy all the time. and that came up. It was like, yeah, we have to give reasons. We can't just say.
That's right.
This is,
you have to justify yourself.
Yeah.
You can't just say, I'm not satisfied with this, or I want something different, like my wrist to work. So conditioning would take you to that place, and you get support for it. I do get people who want to tell you, you're really too pushy, or you're really too demanding, or you really need to be more patient, or probably you're doing something wrong. You'll get
that.
All of that, right? Yeah. That's fun. That's a lesson in kind of human beings. And so how do you just cheerfully keep saying, and yes, and yes, and.
And
that's nice.
That exactly.
And
thank you, because I got that very directly in one of my physical therapy sessions of the physical therapist telling me that they were frustrated. And they were frustrated with what I was saying, which was expressing my frustration at how slowly things are going. And I knew at that point...
They were taking it personally.
Yes, and so it was so... the blessings, I tell you, of practice and of reflective listening have been tremendous. But again, within myself, I'm still struggling at times with not falling into something wrong. This is a physical condition.
And,
there's nothing wrong. It hurts a lot.
So, Jan, that might be the ultimate blessing for you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Is how can you never give up from a place of there's nothing wrong?
Yeah. Well, that's the challenge. Absolutely.
That's the challenge.
And
for me, of course, I would add this other little philosophical thing to it, that there's the medical system, Western medicine. It's great. And there's a whole lot of other stuff that is not Western medicine that can be extremely powerful.
Right, and I have turned to that. I mean, I have left no doors unexplored, I guess. And I have to say that's where some of the, the serendipitous stuff is happening. I asked for acupuncture. I finally get referred. And the acupuncturist I go to happens to be a hand specialist. I mean, stuff like that.
Yes, there you go. So this is where the blessings are, right? Who knows where this is going to take you before it's over. You're going to confront all of your beliefs and assumptions. You're going to confront all of the, I don't want people to think I'm just a pushy you-know-what, Dee. It really hurts my feelings that people judge me how do you just stay cheerful with a great big smile on your face and say, okay, and now what are we going to do next? Because this isn't fixed yet. And I'm not gonna give up until I have absolutely done everything that is humanly possible for my wrist. Because you know what? It's been a great wrist all my life.
Yeah.
Okay? It has taken good care of me all my life. And now I have a chance to take good care of it. Now, if you wanna talk about people's eyes rolling, and they can just roll if they want to. You know, you remember, because we've known each other for a long time, when I had Graves' disease, and everybody wanted me to have my thyroid removed. Everybody wanted me to nuke it. Everybody, because it's so easy, it's so convenient, and we have these medications, and it's just like having your thyroid. And I said, no, because it's been a good thyroid. I have no reason to treat it badly now because I didn't take good care of it. So we could say the same thing for you. You know, there was your wrist going along. be in a good wrist and you fell down and broke it.
Yep.
Yep.
Well,
so
I have
you get to take responsibility.
Yeah. Well, a couple things came up when you were saying that is there's been tremendous tenderness for the body, I mean, for the wrist in particular.
Mm.
And the this may sound really odd, but the relationship that other parts of the body have developed with that wrist, the support, and I mean, it's been amazing.
You know,
many,
it's not
going
to sound weird to me, Jan.
Well, whoever's listening, I think I have come up against all the belief systems. I think, you know what? It's just mainly calling in and just having the support.
Yeah.
That's a huge part of it.
Oh yeah.
Part of it.
Yeah. And you know, it's the same thing, you know, because it's true. A lot of people will not be able to relate to what we're saying at all. And beyond the Sangha, there are a ton of people who wouldn't be able to relate to what we're saying. But the thing is, you know, if something like this had happened to one of your kids, I mean, you would do anything to get them what they needed. Right?
Yeah.
And so you're taking the same stand for yourself. And that process is transformative.
It is. And I guess
that's where...
Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
Well, just that's where it's been sometimes. That's where exactly the place where I'm coming up against the belief systems of, you know, the pushiness, the being liked, respect, whatever it is, it's been thrown at me over and over again.
Yep.
I mean, I'm talking internally and externally.
Yep. Yep.
And it's a fast track.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yeah. Yeah. And I think we get these kinds of opportunities when we're ready for them. You have learned stuff that almost everybody wishes they never had to learn. You know, we're conditioned to think, well, maybe I'll just make it to the finish line and nothing bad will ever happen to me. But when we realize what conditioned mind calls bad stuff that happens to you is where all the juice is. It's where we learn everything. It's where we're transformed. It's where we become the people that in our hearts we know we can be but haven't had the guts to become. When we get that, then is there a bad thing that can happen to me? No, I don't think so. Because if it's happening to me, it's for me.
Yeah. And I see our time is more than up. But, Sherry, that, what you just said, is exactly why I called in. It was reminding me what I already know. And that is that it's all. It's
go get
all of it. It's gifts, our gifts from life. It's what it is. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
You are so welcome.
Right.
Take good care of yourself. Why am I saying that to you? Of course you'll take good care of yourself. I know that. I can trust that. I'm happy about
Thanks
that. Much. Thank you, Jan.
Yeah, I will. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Good night, Jan. I would love to reflect some of that, Sherry, but I think we're up against the hour. So what a wonderful show. And thank you again.
Thank you. And thank you so much, Ashwini, for stepping in, because I know you've got your hands full with a few other jobs that you've got going right now. So I really appreciate it. And thanks to the people who took time out of their schedule there at the monastery to join us. I really appreciate it. And we'll talk soon, huh?
Absolutely. And Michael will be back next week.
All right. Very good.
Thank
you again.
Good night.
Good night.